Tonight was the final Monday Night Raw before Extreme Rules in Philadelphia this Saturday night. We had another Alexa Bliss main event. This one with some glitches. Actually, there was one glitch in particular. I don't know if you noticed that on screen during the main event tonight. These are all part of the whole White Rabbit mystery, I'm sure. Not a coincidence that we had another glitch during an Alexa Bliss match here tonight. It's the only explanation, that they are going to reconnect Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss in some way, because I'm racking my brain trying to figure out how we keep getting these Alexa Bliss main events. This is at least the second Alexa Bliss main event that we have had here on Monday Night Raw in the last few weeks. And Alexa Bliss at one time was one of the biggest stars on the show. She was one of the most featured stars on Monday Night Raw for a very long time, but ever since she's come back, she has been cold as a block of ice. So I'm trying to figure out why is it that she gets another main event here on Raw, and if she is in fact tied in with this whole White Rabbit mystery, well then I guess that would make at least some degree of sense. Speaking of cold as a block of ice, Damage Control standing tall at the end of Monday Night Raw tonight, Bayley holding up the Raw Women's Championship, standing on top of a ladder. I may have to rethink my prediction for the pay-per-view. I'm starting to second-guess my prediction that I made on the podcast this weekend for the match with her and Bianca Belair. But I was also thinking, you know, Damage Control, we have them. Obviously, the Bloodline was represented on Monday Night Raw tonight. The Judgment Day was represented on Monday Night Raw tonight. Over on SmackDown, we have Imperium. We have the Brawling Brutes, who they said are going to be on NXT tomorrow night. They're taking a page out of the AEW playbook with all of these factions. We got Gang Wars back in WWE. Maybe WWE needs their own set of trios titles. We, unfortunately for the Gargano family, had a night that was not very kind to them. Both Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae coming out of tonight losers for the first time since coming back to the company. And we had interference, and this is one of the points that I was not a fan of tonight. We had interference in all but one match on the show tonight. On a three-hour edition of Monday Night Raw, only one match had no interference of some kind. It was a match between Bobby Lashley and Mustafa Ali. That was it. And that is a trend that we saw a lot of during the previous regime. It is a nasty little habit. They have to break that habit. They have to get away from that. I understand in certain situations, you know, the Bloodline, for example, during the match that Solo Sikoa had tonight, a lot of arguing between Jey Uso and Sami Zayn plays into the story that they're telling with the Bloodline. When you have all but one match on a three-hour show where there is interference, it's too much. They need to tone that shit down. This is your Monday Night Raw review for October 3rd, 2022. I am the Solo Monster. Thank you for hanging out with me here on a Monday night and choosing me for your Monday Night Raw coverage. I very much appreciate that. Super chats are open, and they are also very much appreciated. If you want to send any super chats on in, we will be reading those a little bit later on. We're going to keep the goal tonight for Be the Booker at 500 likes. So if we can get 500 on the live stream tonight, we'll do Be the Booker. Be the Booker, for those who don't know, is just a fun little segment that we do at the end of most streams. So we'll set 500 as the goal for tonight. And it's going to be a very busy week. Obviously, we have the three-year anniversary edition of AEW Dynamite coming up on Wednesday with a 15-minute overrun. I'll be live after Dynamite, as I am every single week. I'll be live on Wednesday afternoon, even before Dynamite. We have our next watch-along here on the channel. 25 years later, the Hell in a Cell match. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, we're doing that on Wednesday. Friday night, of course, is SmackDown. Sunday, or Saturday night, I should say, is Extreme Rules. And the podcast on Sunday. So it's going to be a very busy week. And now would be a great time to become a channel member. Heading into that watch along, it'll be a members-only chat. Everybody can watch, but it'll be a members-only chat on Wednesday afternoon. And now would be a great time to get yourself a badge and some emojis here on the channel. So let's get right into it here. We got things started tonight with a Judgment Day promo in the ring before their match that was scheduled. It was going to be Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles taking on Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Balor was in the ring with a microphone in hand. Hey, Josh M., thank you. Tripod and Josh M. Tripod just renewed his membership for 3 months. And Josh is new, so welcome to the channel. Balor said he's ready to beat Edge in their match on Saturday so badly that he's going to quit right then and there. Damian Priest was promising to take out anybody who comes after them. And then we put a microphone in the hands of Dominic Mysterio, and you never know what you're going to get when you put a mic in his hand. But they kept it short. He didn't have a lot to say. He was being serenaded by chants of, "Who's your daddy?" And he said, "I'll tell you who my daddy is." And he said he hates his father. He talked about how much he hates Rey Mysterio. Says he has a new family now in the Judgment Day. Balor said, "You know, I could have taken out Edge last week if I wanted to." And he extended the olive branch to his good buddy one more time. Edge was not there tonight, although we did get a promo from him later in the show, which we'll talk about. So we open with this match. Again, it was AJ and Rey taking on Balor and Priest. And the story here is that Rey Mysterio, he just can't seem to do anything right. Nothing is going right these days for Rey Mysterio. He loses his son. His best friend Edge is trying to murder his son. It's caused friction now between Rey and Edge. Now Rey and AJ are having issues here. Rey was not there tonight when AJ needed him, and it ended up costing them the match. So what happened here is that Rhea pulled Rey off the apron before AJ could get the tag. Dominic gets between Rey and Rhea. And again, he gets down on his knees and he looks at his father and he says, "Hit me." He wants Rey Mysterio to hit him. So at first he was looking at his father. I don't know what the hell he was looking at later, because he's looking at Rey and then he's looking off to the side. I guess he was looking at Rhea Ripley, but he's saying, "Hit me," as he appears to be looking over at Rhea Ripley. Now look, I know that Rhea was kicking this kid's ass for weeks on end. And now he's all submissive to her, right? They come out, and "I'm your poppy," and all this other shit. "I'm your mommy, I'm your poppy," or whatever the fuck they call each other. I'm sure Dominic would love to be hit by Rhea. I'm sure, well, hey, whatever they do behind closed doors, keep it behind closed doors. All I know is that he was saying, "Hit me," and he wasn't looking at Rey Mysterio. So again, I don't know what the fuck he was looking at. But Rhea took down Rey with a clothesline, and in the ring, Balor finished off AJ with the coup de grace for the win. After the match, Rey got inside. He tried to apologize. He was apologizing profusely to AJ, who was not very happy. He said, "Where were you? I needed you. You weren't there when I needed you." And Rey was trying to explain himself. He ends up getting shoved down on his ass. AJ shoves him down to the mat. Rey walks off, but the Judgment Day, they attack AJ from behind, and he was all alone. And they left him laying. I think Priest gave him the South of Heaven chokeslam. AJ Styles has never felt less significant than he does right now. In all the years that he has been in WWE, so this goes back to the very beginning of 2016, when he debuted in the Royal Rumble match, and think about the way that AJ debuted when he came into the company. Royal Rumble, match with Chris Jericho at WrestleMania, back-to-back pay-per-view title matches with Roman Reigns, an extended program with John Cena that saw him beat John Cena. Then he won the championship from Dean Ambrose. Like, he had a hell of a year in 2016. Right on into the beginning of 2017. 2018 was the stuff with Nakamura. I mean, you can go down the line. This is the least significant that AJ Styles has ever felt. And they need to do something to change that. Now, he was already being downplayed even before Vince McMahon went away. I'm hoping that Triple H can actually find something meaningful for him to do, because he's not getting any younger, but AJ is still great. He should be doing more than what they have him doing right now. I understand that, yes, you got to cycle guys out. AJ is not always going to be, you know, in the top spot, but he's been out of the limelight long enough now, and I don't think he's hurt. They need to be doing more with him. They should not be wasting AJ Styles the way that they are right now. Now, I say that about AJ, but the Judgment Day has never felt stronger. And that's something I would not have said a few months ago. In fact, I was coming on here many weeks and talking about how insignificant the Judgment Day felt. And what a flop they were. And they were. Under Vince McMahon, they were a fucking flop. Now, all of a sudden, this is a big improvement over where they were, even just a couple of months ago. All of a sudden, the Judgment Day, they're winning matches, they're looking dominant. They're getting more television time. It's not perfect, but they are in a much better position now than they were even just a couple of months ago. Kevin Patrick caught Bobby Lashley coming into the arena, and he went up to him and he wanted to ask him about his dominant 3-month reign as United States champion. And Lashley didn't even realize that it had already been 3 months. I didn't realize it either. So he said that he's beaten the best during his time in WWE, and he rattled off some names. He's beaten Drew McIntyre. He's beaten Roman Reigns. He's beaten Brock Lesnar. He's beaten Seth Rollins. And that's right. He did beat Roman Reigns. As a matter of fact, he beat Roman Reigns at Extreme Rules back in 2018. I had forgotten about that. Pinned Roman Reigns at Extreme Rules. So he said that he wanted to face somebody with the same desire as him. All of a sudden, Mustafa Ali steps up. Haven't seen him on Raw in a while. He walks up to Lashley. He says that he has the same desire, but, you know, he's been waiting in the back for somebody to call his number. He's sick and tired of waiting around. And Lashley told him, yeah, I've seen you grinding. You just keep doing your thing. You keep working and you'll get your shot. And he went to turn around to continue his interview with Kevin Patrick. And Ali turned him back around and said, I'm not done talking to you here. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I am not asking you for an opportunity. I am demanding an opportunity. And now he pissed off Lashley, and Lashley didn't like how comfortable everybody is getting all of a sudden as far as disrespecting him. And so he accepted Ali's challenge. We cut to a different part of the backstage area. A lot of activity going on in the backstage area here. Sami Zayn and Jimmy Uso were laughing hysterically over a story that Sami was telling. Solo Sikoa, the camera panned over, and he was standing off to the side. And Sami had him cracking up. He got him to crack. Sami can get anybody to crack. Sami even got Jey Uso to crack, and Jey Uso hates his guts and is great in his role. But he's cracked up Jimmy. He's cracked up Jey. He's cracked up Solo. He's cracked up Roman in that first segment in Roman's locker room. Sami is great. So Jey Uso shows up and he wanted to know what's so funny. He sees them laughing. He wants to know what's so funny. And he said, we should be taking care of business right now. And Jimmy told Jey, you know, to relax. And Jimmy looked like he was about to, or Jey looked like he was about to get up in his brother's face. And so Sami interceded. He said, no, he's right. He's right. We're here tonight on business here on Raw. It's time that we put these fools on notice here on this show. And as the Bloodline began walking, they ran into the Street Profits, and Sami told them that the Tribal Chief would be on the season premiere of Monday Night Raw next week in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. And he said that they need to be ready to acknowledge him. And Jey Uso pointed out the walking boot that Montez Ford was wearing. I did see a report earlier today from Fightful that there was a wrestler who was spotted backstage wearing a walking boot, but they didn't say who it was or they didn't know who it was. So obviously it was Montez Ford. I have no idea when the injury happened or how serious it is. The fact that he's at least walking around, that he even came out later in the show, I would think it's not that serious, but maybe, who knows? Maybe it happened at the building today and they haven't even, you know, given him tests. We don't know. But he was wearing a walking boot. Angelo Dawkins threatened to stick his foot up Jey Uso's ass. And Solo Sikoa got up at his face, and this ended up being turned into a match later on tonight. So we had Bobby Lashley against Mustafa Ali. This was non-title, no U.S. championship on the line here. Ali caught him with a tornado DDT early, but Lashley was dominating him coming out of a commercial break. Lashley hoisted up Ali. He ran him into the ring post and then hurled him over the barricade. Got back into the ring and told the referee to count. Ali ended up making it back into the ring, when I say barely in the nick of time. The referee was already in mid, he was in mid-call as he was about to call for the bell. And Ali just barely slid back inside. Lashley looked very surprised. He was telling a story with his facial expressions. And really, the whole point of what they did here, the emphasis really wasn't on Ali. It was really on Lashley and then what happened after the match. But they at least made the attempt to portray Ali as somebody who is like a bulldog. He doesn't back down. He's very tenacious. All right. What's that word? They used to use this word all the time. Pugnacious. That was one of those Vince McMahon words back in the day. He's very pugnacious. So you had this look on Bobby Lashley's face like, I can't believe this guy. This guy won't die no matter what I do to him, except 2 seconds later, he did die. Lashley gave him a spear. Ali had a tremendous sell on the spear. Literally just turned inside out, did a complete flip, landed on his belly. And then Lashley applied the hurt lock. Ali was struggling. He was saying no, no, no. He refused to give up until finally he just passed out and the referee called for the stoppage. After the match, Lashley was leaning over to help up Ali when he was attacked from behind by Seth Rollins. Or as they are still insisting on calling him in the graphics and on commentary, Seth freaking Rollins. You know, in the interview that he did with Ariel Helwani, Ariel asked him about that, about the whole freaking name. And Seth said, honestly, I don't know. It's not my call to make. He did talk about how when they first started really trying to get the name over, they were doing it so much, even he knew. He went to Vince McMahon and said, you got to stop. I mean, like, 12 times in the span of like 30 seconds, they were calling him freaking, Seth freaking Rollins. He said, you're going to turn the people off. And he said that Vince said, okay, fine. We'll just address you on commentary as Seth Rollins. Well, they're not just addressing him on commentary as Seth Rollins. It's still Seth freaking Rollins every 10 seconds. So he seems indifferent to the whole thing. He was saying he can go either way. If they want to get rid of the name, he's fine with it. If they want to keep it, he's fine with it. He goes, we don't really have too many people anymore, like Bret the Hitman Hard, who have three names. So he's kind of indifferent. I hope they get rid of the whole fucking thing. It's just, it's one of those things where everybody, I know everybody has some kind of a nickname. And I'm not against the fact that they want Seth Rollins to have a nickname. It's just that when they do these things, they go so overboard with it. Is it really necessary to have the announcers, to have Jimmy Smith on commentary every single time Rollins is mentioned? He's got to remember to get the word freaking in there. I mean, like, it's his middle fucking name. It's just they take things so over the top. I mean, they just make you never want to hear it again. So count me in as one of those people who hopes that they get rid of that stupid name, but it doesn't look like they are. So Seth freaking Rollins ends up giving him the stomp. He gives him a second stomp, this time on the U.S. title belt, which is what Jimmy Smith called it. He called it a belt. I think that might be the first time I've heard that word mentioned on this show since Vince McMahon left. So Rollins went to go leave, but he spotted Ali on the outside trying to get up. And of course, he went over. He gave Ali a stomp on the floor. So again, it was nice to see Ali get some TV time. He hasn't gotten any television time on the main show recently. And they did try to make him look tough here that, you know, he wouldn't surrender and he passed out. He didn't tap out or give up. There is no reason at this point to believe that they have any kind of plans for Mustafa Ali. We're going to have to wait until week 2, 3, 4, and 5. If he's still popping up on TV, then maybe. But right now, anybody who's thinking, well, maybe this is the start of some kind of direction with him. There have been so many start and stops with him on TV that it's hard for me to actually get really, you know, interested in any of this. How many times have we seen him pop up on TV and he'll be there for a few weeks and then he's just totally forgotten about and we don't see him again? How am I supposed to believe that this is not another one of those situations? And Ali's never going to be a top guy in this company, but he could at least be featured more consistently. Same problem I have with Tony Khan in AEW when it comes to people like FTR and Wardlow. I did see, by the way, that on the Dynamite show this Wednesday, the anniversary show, Wardlow is going to be defending the TNT title, so they're giving him a match, but they're dusting off Brian Cage. This is the first time I can remember Brian Cage being in a proper match like this on Dynamite in probably a year. Probably been about a year or more. They're dusting off Brian Cage. We're going to get Brian Cage and Wardlow. Two big boys battling it out for the TNT Championship on Wednesday. So it's same thing, right? If Brian Cage appears on Dynamite this week and gets beat by Wardlow, which I assume he will, Are we never going to see Brian Cage again on Dynamite? Because if so, what's the point? So that's my thought on the Ali thing. But as far as Rollins attacking Lashley, this now sets up another match between them for the U.S. title. Because later on in the trainer's room, Bobby Lashley said, I want Rollins next week and I'm going to put my championship on the line. So that way he's not going to back out of it. So they're going to have a title match on the big season premiere next week. And it has me thinking that regardless of what happens with Rollins in the fight pit, and I think he's losing the fight pit, 2 days later, they may rehab him by just putting the U.S. title on. It's pretty clear nobody is beating Roman Reigns, at least until WrestleMania. Nobody is beating Roman Reigns. That includes Seth Rollins. Now, this feud with Riddle has got to stop. It's got to end at Extreme Rules. Where do you put Seth Rollins then, coming out of this pay-per-view this weekend? What do you do with Seth Rollins? He's still one of the biggest stars you have on the roster. If they're going back to Rollins and Lashley, that has me thinking that Rollins is going to take the U.S. title next week. Now, Rollins stayed out there for the next segment. He was scheduled for a face-to-face with his opponent at Extreme Rules in the fight pit, Matt Riddle. Of course, a UFC Hall of Famer, Daniel Cormier. I think he just went into the Hall of Fame this year. Cormier is going to be the special referee for the fight pit. I love the fact that they had a video package on the fight pit with highlights of the first two matches, the only two matches that they had on NXT. They had like illustrations of what it looks like, and they had a voiceover guy explaining how it works and the different parts of the cage. That's exactly what I was hoping they would do. Educate people on what the fight pit is, because if you didn't watch NXT, you would have no idea. So I like that they had a video package on this. So Riddle came out. And Rollins reminded him that they had a no-contact clause. So the whole point here is that neither one could touch the other, because if they did, the match on Saturday would be off. So Rollins was full of himself and, you know, doing the cackle, the hyena laugh, and they're standing in the ring, because he knows Riddle's not going to be able to touch him. So Riddle says, look, don't worry, I don't plan on putting any more stitches in your face. And Rollins did have a cut right in the middle of his forehead. So I guess he got stitches from an errant shot. An errant shot of some kind during one of their house show matches, I assume. Riddle said that at Extreme Rules, he's not just going to beat Rollins and hurt him. He's going to kill him. So we hear the word belt earlier, and that's not usually a word that you hear on these shows. The K word is a word that you don't usually hear on these shows either. Vince McMahon used to talk about, we don't talk about killing people on our shows. We don't talk about guns and knives and rape or killing people. Matt Riddle flat out said, I'm going to kill you this Saturday. I am going to be raining blows down upon you. I'm going to be hammering away on your lifeless body. Daniel Cormier is going to have to pull me off. And he said that instead of singing Seth's theme song, the fans would be singing Bro to the tune of Seth's music. And he tried to get the crowd to sing along, which they kind of did. Rollins told Riddle that Cormier was actually a fan of his, which is true. I talked about this on Sunday. There's old footage of Daniel Cormier being in the crowd for WrestleMania the year that Seth Rollins cashed in Money in the Bank and won the WWE title. And he's marking out. And he's like so excited. And he's talked about how big of a fan he is of Seth Rollins. So that's a shoot. So Seth brought that up and he said, so Cormier will actually be on my side. He's going to be on your side. He's going to be on my side, if anything. So Rollins said, Riddle has a nice singing voice. Now, he tried to get that bro song going. He said, you got a nice singing voice. And he asked him if he sings his children to bed at night. And he goes, oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot. You're not allowed to see your kids anymore. Isn't that right? Rollins was trying to egg Riddle on to hit him, and Rollins said that they have a big money fight on Saturday, and Riddle needs all the money he can, because child support can get pretty expensive. So he was all up in Riddle's face. He was just daring him to hit him. And Rollins told him to back up, Riddle told him to back up, because your breath is horrible. He asked Rollins, you know, when was the last time you held a championship? And that got a big rise out of the crowd. Then he taunted him over Roman Reigns, choking him out the last time they fought. And if you watch the interview that Rollins did with Ariel Helwani, he was very open and honest about the fact that he's not sure he'll ever be the top guy in the company so long as we are living in the era of Roman Reigns. So, again, kind of playing into this idea that he knows it bothers Rollins right down to his core that he is not at the level that Roman Reigns is pushed at in this company, that he can't be in the spot that Roman Reigns is in. So they kind of work that in there. And then he said that he mentioned the fact that Rollins has never main event. When they say main event at WrestleMania, I know some people are going to be like, well, what are you talking about? He won the title in the main event of WrestleMania. Rollins has never had a proper main event at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins has never gone into a WrestleMania promoted as the main event of the show. And if you ask him, he'll say the same thing. I've never had that WrestleMania main event. I know it sounds weird because that moment at WrestleMania 31 is going to go down as one of the all-time great finishes to a WrestleMania ever. And so he'll always have that. That'll be one of the highlights of his career, but it does bother him that he's never been promoted as part of a WrestleMania main event. So Rollins had that thrown in his face by Riddle as well. And he said Rollins will come in second to him at Extreme Rules, just like he came in second to his own wife, who actually does have a WrestleMania main event under her name. So all of a sudden, Daniel Cormier appears on the big screen in a very clearly pre-taped segment. And told them to stop as if it were live, right? You two guys, stop. He said that for all the people wondering who I am one of the greatest UFC champions of all time. He said that he respects Riddle coming from his world, and Rollins also knows that he respects him. He said that he was contacted to make sure that only one man left the fight pit. He told Rollins and Riddle that it was time for the talking to come to an end, that he would see them on Saturday in Philadelphia. And so Rollins and Riddle came face to face one last time. Rollins knocked Riddle's hat off his head, which I guess doesn't count as contact. Knocked his hat off his head and he walked away. So I love the digs that they were taking at each other. This didn't have the same serious tone that interview segment they did all those weeks ago before Clash at the Castle had. And Riddle was, he didn't come out on his scooter. He actually walked to the ring like a normal person. He didn't come to the ring on the scooter. He didn't kick off the flip-flops. But this was not serious Matt Riddle, angry, serious Matt Riddle like we had in that segment. But they tried to keep it, real, so to speak. I like the digs that they were taking at each other. I will say, though, if Riddle, and I know Riddle, I don't know exactly who initiated what. I know that he is no longer with his wife. I believe she has the kids. I don't believe that he has had any contact with them. But again, beyond that, I don't know the specifics of what his situation is. If Riddle really is not allowed to see his kids, like he's banned from seeing his kids, like legally banned, like that's not something that, if he's supposed to be the babyface going into this match, I hear that. The only thing I think is, what the fuck did this guy do that he's not allowed to see his own kids? See, to me, that doesn't get him any sympathy. I think just the opposite. Like, what the fuck did this guy do that he is not allowed to see his kids? So that might have kind of an unintended effect there. But I thought what hurt the segment, though, was the fact that Cormier was not there. They really needed him there, I think, to kind of take this segment to, not a more serious level, but just like, I think in the past when we've had celebrities and athletes come in the past to be special referee, we've had Jesse Ventura who came in to be a referee. We've had Mike Tyson, right? There've been a whole host of different people over the years, celebrities, athletes who have come in to serve in the same role that Cormier is going to be in on Saturday. And almost always they have them on the show. They have them at least on one episode of the show leading up to the pay-per-view. In this case, they only made the announcement about a week before the pay-per-view, so it was now or never. And maybe there's good reason why they couldn't get Cormier. Maybe he was unavailable, but they really needed him, I think, to add more to this segment here. Would have felt like a bigger deal to have him there. And you would have gotten that photo op, you know, of him standing in between those two, kind of keeping them apart from each other. So I thought it hurt to not have him there. And even though they tried to treat it like it was live, it was very obvious that, you know, even the segment that he was in was not live. Otherwise, you know, I enjoyed the back and forth between these two. By the way, on the subject of Cormier, the rumor, for those who haven't heard the rumor going around, is that Cormier is very likely going to be the next opponent for Brock Lesnar. Now, Brock Lesnar is not having a match until, at least in this country, I don't know what's going on with Crown Jewel, but he's not having another match here in the U.S. until day one, which is not going to be until the beginning of January. I hear this and I think to myself, you know, if they're going to do Daniel Cormier against Brock Lesnar, why do that at day one? That to me sounds like it would be Lesnar's WrestleMania match, because I don't need to see Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at another WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar is going to need a different opponent altogether. So if they're going to bring in Cormier, most likely, I hear that, that tells me that's the WrestleMania match. All I can say is, I just think back to the match that Brock had with Cain Velasquez at the Saudi Arabia show. I thought that match sucked. One good thing about it, it went two minutes. It was over very quickly, but it sucked. Now, maybe Daniel Cormier wants to wrestle. Maybe he comes in and wrestles, and he actually does a good job, right? For every Cain Velasquez or Tyson Fury who I thought came in and had wet farts for matches, you've got another celebrity, whether it's a Pat McAfee or somebody like that, who comes in and actually looks pretty good and very competent in the ring. I just don't want to see a repeat of Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez. But that is the rumor. Nothing is confirmed as far as Cormier against Brock. Candice LeRae was shown walking in the back, and she ran into Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss. And the latest White Rabbit QR code flashed on the screen during this segment. Again, very interesting. An Alexa Bliss segment. I know that in all the clues from last week, there was some mention of the word Belair. And I thought, okay, well, that must, maybe there's a connection to when we're going to get our next clue. So that it could have been, you know, that could have been what this was. You know, Bianca Belair is on screen. Okay. They kind of teased that this was going to be the next QR code. And then boom, there it was on the screen. So now we get into the latest clues here in this White Rabbit stuff. And there's so many things going on here. This is not all of it. I just tried to, from what I saw and from what I saw other people talking about, just kind of collect the key stuff here and try to figure out exactly what it all means and, you know, if it, is it relevant, is it not relevant. So I took that QR code, as I'm sure many of you did, and it took me to a page on WWE.com, and it took me to this photo. Now, this image that you see here on your screen is a picture of Samson and Delilah. Okay, so there it is, from the Bible. And Samson lusted over Delilah, and Delilah took advantage of him. So this is clearly meant to be a reference to Bray and Alexa Bliss, and what Alexa did to him when she cost him his match with Randy Orton at WrestleMania 37. Has to be, you know, what this is in reference to. This right here. This is it right here. This was WrestleMania 37, right before The Fiend was dropped like a bag of dirt by Randy Orton and beaten. Alexa Bliss popped up out of the Jack in the Box and cost them the match. Clearly, that is the reference that they were going for there. Clearly. Now, there was a second image. There was a second image that was shown. This image here. I want you to take a look at this. That is a tweet from Bray Wyatt after WrestleMania, after Alexa Bliss did what she did and cost him the match. He posted that image, which ties into the image I just showed you. So again, it's they're beating you over the head with it now. I feel like as we're getting closer to the reveal, this weekend, most likely this weekend, now they're just beating you over the head with this stuff now. But there was another image, and this image here that you see on your screen, you can see there's a code on the bottom. You see there's a series of numbers on the bottom. And I was wondering, what the hell are these numbers? So those numbers are a SKU. So a SKU is an identification number that, you know, is assigned to a product. In this case, this SKU represents that. White rabbit milk. Now, I'm not even sure if this is a real product. Again, a lot of this shit has been planted by WWE or presumably Bray. They've thought all of this out. Some of this stuff is intentionally planted. I'm not even sure if this is a real product or not. I mean, if it has a SKU, then it probably is. But there it is, white rabbit milk. How many of you would drink white rabbit milk? I know I wouldn't. But then again, anything with the word milk in it ain't gonna end too well for me. So half of the URL leads to the, I think, coordinates for the arena this Saturday for Extreme Rules. I think it's the Wells Fargo Center. You know, there's a code in one of the other images people uncovered. It's the date of Extreme Rules. There's binary code that people, how are these fucking people, like, they're watching the show tonight. 10 minutes later, people are uncovering binary code. Don't you fucking people have something better to do? Watch the show. Pay attention to the show. Look at a binary code. So they found the word Gacy in the binary code. And now people are freaking out. Oh my God, it's going to be Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy is the white rabbit. Get rid of this shit. Joe Gacy is not the white rabbit. Remember, when you do this ARG kind of stuff, they throw so much shit at you. Half of it you can throw away. They're just fucking with you. It's like the lyrics to the Aleister Black song that somebody found in the HTML code a couple of weeks ago. Oh, Malachi Black is coming back. You forced Malachi to go on Instagram last week and he had a fucking meltdown on there. He's sitting in his car. The guy looks like he's, you know, being chased by fucking Michael Myers or something. He's sitting in his car all frazzled. He's looking around. He looks exasperated. He's got people saying, are you the white rabbit? It's not Malachi Black. It's not Joe Gacy. It's Bray Wyatt. Everything points to Bray Wyatt. And the only question now is, again, is he coming back as Bray Wyatt in some kind of different persona? Or is it just The Fiend is coming back? And if it's just The Fiend, I can't say that I'm a big fan of that. But it would be The Fiend under the Triple H regime, not under the Vince McMahon regime. I don't get the sense Vince McMahon was a very big fan of Bray Wyatt to begin with, which is why Bray Wyatt was fired. If Vince McMahon was a huge fan of Bray Wyatt, then Bray Wyatt would still be employed by WWE. Perhaps things would be different under Triple H. I just think you've got to tweak it, you've got to change it, you've got to reinvent yourself in some way to just come back and pick up where you left off and do the Fiend stuff and the Firefly Funhouse and just go back to that. That's not what I want to see. I want to see something different. It's been fun following along with all this stuff, but now, yeah, I've reached the point where it's like, all right, now we're having so many things thrown at us, and yes, it's showing white rabbits and this and that, but I feel like this Saturday is a good time to end it. Have the reveal, put all the cards on the table, and let's move on. I don't think I could take another 3 or 4 weeks of these codes. That's your white rabbit update for Raw tonight. Again, I'm sure I missed about 6 or 7 or 8 other clues, but I was trying to pay attention to the television show. I'll leave that to other people. So we went backstage to The Miz. And The Miz was on the phone with his lovely bride, Maryse. Always miss seeing Maryse on these shows. He was questioning what the hell happened to Tommaso Ciampa. I haven't seen him in weeks. And I was just thinking the same thing. What the hell happened to Tommaso Ciampa? Where's he been? So he was talking about how Maryse would be throwing him a birthday bash in Brooklyn next week. And I thought, man, if you would have bumped that shit up to this week, we could have had a double birthday bash in Brooklyn. We could have been celebrating together. Coming to Brooklyn to celebrate his birthday. Don't do it next week. You got to do it this week. So Dexter Lumis appeared in a doorway behind Miz. He didn't see him. A crew member came in to tell Miz something, and he kind of shooed them away. And when the camera panned back and you saw the door was shut. There was no Dexter Lumis. And then finally, when Miz walked off, we saw the door prop open. Dexter poked his head out. And that was the last we saw of Dexter Lumis for the rest of the show. Although there was a segment in the back later where Miz was laying on top of one of those equipment boxes. And when he woke up, he was awoken by Johnny Gargano. He was startled, and he had a picture that somebody had drawn in his hand, because Dexter Lumis is actually a very accomplished artiste, and he can draw, legit. And so he drew this picture of Miz and him, and it freaked out the Miz. But I wanted to bring up Dexter because he did an interview back in August. This is right before he came back to WWE. And he was obviously doing some kind of an event with this independent promotion, MCW. And it was for MCW Backstage Pass, and he talked about the origins of the Dexter Lumis name. And what he said, I think, is what most people probably would have figured as far as the origins of the name. Where did you get the name from? Who came up with the name? And he said the name Dexter obviously comes from the serial killer from, was it Michael C. Hall, whatever his name is, who played Dexter on the television show. But he said Lumis comes from Dr. Sam Lumis, which is the doctor from the Halloween movies that was played by Donald Pleasance. And instead of being able to spell it, L-O-O-M-I-S, for trademark reasons, they changed the spelling to L-U-M-I-S. So I always thought that, but I wasn't entirely sure. But to hear him say that, yes, it is an homage to Dr. Lumis from the Halloween movies, I thought was very cool. But yes, if you are not familiar with Sam Shaw from Impact, if you only know of him as Dexter Lumis in WWE, and you have never heard this man speak before, and you want to know what he sounds like, he actually sounds like a normal human being, just type in MCW Backstage Pass Dexter Lumis. It should come right up. So we have Candice LeRae against Dakota Kai of Damage Control. A lot of Damage Control on this show tonight. Second week in a row, not much of a reaction for Candice, but she was starting to win the crowd over. At one point, she hit a German suplex from the middle rope and took Dakota backwards, and that got a nice reaction out of the crowd. But then they went right to the lame finish with the referee distracted. Bailey tripped LeRae off the middle rope, and that allowed Dakota to pick up the pinfall. We just had a backstage segment not long before this where we saw Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss just standing around with nothing to do. How come they weren't out here in Candice's corner? Where were they? All the members of Damage Control were out here at ringside. Where was Bianca and Alexa and Asuka? How come they weren't out here to back her up and watch her back? And the very next segment was the Johnny Gargano segment I mentioned, where he was walking through the back. He was getting ready to come out for his match. He was all smiles. That came right after his wife was beaten in the middle of the ring. You talk about bad timing. He's got a big smile on his face. His wife just got beat in the middle of the ring. So that brought out Johnny Gargano for the next match. One-on-one against Otis. Austin Theory sat in on commentary. The match spilled out to ringside. Gargano was throwing punches at Theory. Then he hit a tornado DDT on Otis on the floor. Chad Gable distracted the referee. The first of many times that this has happened on the show tonight. Like I said, one match on the three-hour show had no interference. So off the distraction, Austin Theory hit Gargano from behind with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Otis then power slammed Gargano and pinned him. And after the match was over, the heels all ganged up on Johnny. Braun Strowman made his entrance. He took out Otis with a shoulder tackle. Gable and Theory ran away, but Strowman caught Gable. He threw him into the ring, and he demanded that the referee call for the bell. And so that led to our next scheduled match. I guess we're going right to it. It was Braun Strowman one-on-one against Chad Gable. And I was actually looking forward to this match. I liked the little video package that they had Gable tweet out on social media the other day. They showed it, actually, during his entrance. They showed the video on the show where he said, "You know what, Braun, me and you have a history together. I coached you." And they had footage from the Performance Center when Braun first came into the company of him with Gable and Braun's very first match at one of the NXT live events. And he's he's launching Gable across the ring. They have this entire library of footage, and they really should start putting that to better use, because a good number of people on the roster right now came through early NXT, and they have all of this footage. I mean, they have tons of footage. I mean, they have footage going back to fucking OVW, and I don't think they don't make enough use of it. But I was looking forward to this because Strowman and Otis had a pretty fun match a few weeks ago. And I'm a big fan of Chad Gable. I think the guy's a beast. And I thought that, these guys going one-on-one, they could have a fun match too. And they did not disappoint me. Strowman tossed Gable onto Otis at ringside. Strowman was down behind the broadcast table when we came back from the commercial. And then they showed footage of what happened. They showed footage of Otis tossing Strowman over the announce desk, and that he was ejected by the referee. Strowman came back to the ring. He took a German suplex from Chad Gable. Gable gave this man, who is three times his size, a German suplex, and he got a near fall off of it. They showed Omos and MVP. I see Omos. I say, oh no. Omos and MVP in the back were watching Braun Strowman's match. So there you go. There's a little sign of where they're going with Braun Strowman. We're going to get Braun Strowman and Omos very soon. There's only two ways that will go. That will either be just a complete disaster of a match, or they're going to go out there and they're going to blow everybody away and really impress people. They're going to work well together. They're just going to have a good, fun, big man match. There really is not going to be any in between. It's either going to really impress me, or it's going to be fucking absolutely terrible. I'm leaning towards the latter. I hope I'm wrong. So they cut back to the ring. Strowman catches Gable on the turnbuckle. Gable, though, puts him in an armbar over the top rope. Strowman powered him up. Gable escaped, but put Strowman down with a dropkick. Gable went for a top rope moonsault. Strowman avoided it. And Gable landed on his feet. He was put down with a big boot. And Strowman powerbombed him and gave him the 1-2-3. So this was far more competitive than you would think. They gave Gable a lot in this match. And I'm sure part of it was the fact that they were in Gable's home state. They were in Minnesota, which is where Gable is from. But when he gave him that German suplex, I popped. Chad Gable is a beast. Of course he is. He's a former Olympian. All those Olympians are beasts. But that's two fun matches that Braun Strowman has had now with both members of the Alpha Academy. I don't know that I'll be saying the same thing about Strowman and Omos when they finally step into the ring together. Although when they do have a match, and I don't know if it'll be just a straight singles match or maybe they'll be on opposite sides, it's Survivor Series or something, but I'm sure it'll get a big reaction. The first time those two go face-to-face, nose-to-nose, everybody is probably going to pop huge. It's the idea of them having a full-blown match that scares me. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. The NFL is back. Playoff baseball is less than a week away. You hope your team can stay healthy on the field, but just as important, they need to stay healthy off the field too. Mental health in the sports world is very important, and more athletes are speaking out about the importance of mental health. You don't need to be a pro athlete, though, to take care of your mental health. And therapy is the best way to keep yourself in peak mental shape. My experience with BetterHelp was a positive one, and it can be for you, too. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. Some people need more help than others. But for me, I got some great advice on what was keeping me from a full night's sleep, which was making me exhausted. And I've been able to make positive changes to my sleep habits. I also have more energy now than I had before. The therapist they matched me up with checked in on me to make sure I was making progress and doing well, and I appreciated that. I felt like she actually cared. And sometimes that's all that a person needs, to know that somebody cares and is there to check in on them. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, it's affordable, it's entirely online, and you can get matched with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists at any time. When you're ready to feel at the top of your mental health game, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. Bayley and Bianca Belair were out next for the contract signing for their championship match at Extreme Rules. Corey Graves was the moderator, and he said that this was the first time the women's championship would be defended in a ladder match. So we've had women's Money in the Bank matches before. We've had all kinds of matches, but there has never been a Raw or SmackDown Women's Championship, I guess, straight one-on-one ladder match. So this will be the first. So there was a QR code. We're not done with the QR codes. By the time we get to the end of this week, I'm not going to want to see another QR code for the rest of my life. But there was a QR code. As Corey Graves was standing there in the ring, we saw this. He's holding the contract, and in the back of the contract is a QR code. But take a look at who is sitting just to the left in our image here, just to the left of Corey Graves. It's The Fiend. We've got a little fiend sitting in the crowd, and I don't believe that person was sitting there before this. I think they were there specifically when the QR code was being shown. So we didn't have to wait until Philadelphia. We got The Fiend here on Raw tonight. He's sitting right there. He's enjoying the show. This probably was not a segment that he enjoyed, though, because the crowd wasn't reacting to any of this at all. The crowd could not give a shit about this segment. Bayley said that the ladder is symbolic of her entire WWE career. Said that she had to climb the ladder throughout her time in the company, and at one point, she was Bianca. She was in the shoes that Bianca Belair now fills. And she said they even had the same ponytails. She said, once upon a time, those Bianca Belair signs that we see in the crowd were all Bayley signs. Baby Fiend. Everyone's talking about the Baby Fiend. I mean, I just said, you know, it just looked like a small person. I can't tell. I mean, who knows? It could be a normal-sized person. It just looked like a tiny version of The Fiend sitting in the crowd. You know, it'd be hilarious if it was actually Bray. Because I feel like Bray would just fuck with people like that. Like one day we'll find out, yeah, that was me. I was sitting in the crowd. See, Bray, though, has a very distinct body type. He's a big guy. I would think that people would know if it were Bray Wyatt, but that would be actually hilarious if it was actually him sitting in the crowd and people just figured out some dude with a fiend mask. So Bayley said the Bianca signs used to be Bayley signs. She talked about all the little girls in the crowd wearing Bianca's EST shirts, and she said that they used to wear her T-shirts, but once they stopped caring, her career began a downward spiral. Bianca finally had enough. She told her to shut up. She talked about how Bayley is showing the world the real her, and how it took her a whole year to come up with her master plan to return with damage control at SummerSlam. So you can plan on calling her champion after Extreme Rules, but Bayley points to the rest of Damage Control being with her on Saturday. She's got them in her corner. So then they cut to the back, and we see Io Sky and Dakota Kai beating up Asuka and Alexa Bliss in the back. And this distracts Bianca enough that Bayley grabs her and pulls her over the announce table. Bianca fights her off, runs to the back, and they find Asuka's on the ground. Asuka has, I think her chair or her leg had a chair wrapped around it. She was crying. She was like moaning and crying on the ground. And Alexa Bliss is watching this, and she's got an angry look on her face. And she stares dead into the camera, and she challenges Io Sky to a match later on tonight. That's the most emotion I've seen out of Alexa Bliss since she came back. They haven't done anything with her. But as far as the segment with Bianca and Bayley, you know, I thought Bianca is fine. I have no issue with Bianca Belair, but this, you know, Bayley and Damage Control, nobody cares. Like, you see the reactions from the crowd. And in that segment, it was really noticeable. Like, there was no heat whatsoever. And they tried to put heat on them tonight. Tonight was all about heat with the Judgment Day, with Damage Control. This is still very much a heat-oriented company. Everybody's got to get heat on somebody else. All the heels have to leave the baby faces laying. It's about heat with this company. And so, yes, people are going to say, oh, Damage Control, they're annoying and stuff. Well, they're supposed to be. They're heels. My issue with it is that nobody seems to care. And there's something that just feels off with this pairing. It just doesn't seem to be working. Tonight, they positioned them in a dominant way. But you can just tell from the crowd reactions that nobody cares. And Bayley, we've seen Bayley do great things on the main roster and have great matches. But even just Bayley herself is missing something since she's come back. Something is off. It's not the same. We had Solo Sikoa with the Bloodline in his corner taking on Angelo Dawkins with Montez Ford in his. He was moving around pretty well in his boot. On commentary, though, they said that Ford could be out for a while. So this is a chance for Angelo Dawkins, they said, to step up. And he looked good here. He hit a drop kick at one point early in the match that Mr. Perfect would be proud of. Sikoa threw a fit at ringside early on out of frustration because no matter what he did, Dawkins was right on him. He grabbed a chair out of anger. And Sammy tried to talk him out of it. Jey Uso came over and said, "I got this. He's my brother. Okay, I got this." And he was arguing with Sammy as they went to the commercial break. Later on, Sammy climbed up onto the apron. He was yakking at the referee. Jey Uso gets up on the apron. Now he's yakking at Sammy. And the two of them are arguing and bickering. And Sikoa caught Angelo Dawkins with a super kick and he went for the pin. But the referee was distracted by this nonsense on the apron with Sami Zayn and Jey Uso. Solo Sikoa could have gotten a five count on this thing. So the referee finally comes over, and he ends up not getting the three, and Solo did not look happy about that. Dawkins sent Sikoa to ringside. Zayn went to go check on him until Jey pulled him away, and then Jey and Sammy got into a heated argument. Here comes Angelo Dawkins. He does a flip dive out over the top rope and takes out both Usos. Sammy sidestepped it. Sammy yelled at Dawkins. He got dropped with a punch. Dawkins got back in the ring. Sikoa caught him with a spin kick and his spinning Uranage finish for the win. They had me convinced that Dawkins might actually steal a win over Sikoa at one point when Sammy and Jey were arguing. I'm glad they didn't beat Solo yet. I know he had that match with Drew McIntyre. I think that was the first match he had on the main roster, and I think that was a count out or a DQ. But Solo Sikoa is undefeated. I mean, no one has pinned him or made him submit so far. He's going to wrestle Ricochet on SmackDown Friday, and that ain't going to change. But, you know, to beat him tonight in a cheap way like this, it does nothing for Angelo Dawkins. If Angelo Dawkins rolled him up off a distraction and pinned him, they'd make a big deal out of it for about 10 seconds, and then it would be forgotten about. And what does it mean? It's a cheap, fluky win. So I'm glad they didn't do that. But they had me convinced for a second that they might. So backstage, Austin Theory told Otis that he did exactly what he needed to do in the ring. He was proud of him. Chad Gable comes staggering into the picture, and Theory tells him he did great. Theory said that he would be facing Johnny Gargano on the season premiere of Raw next week. We had a promo from Edge. Edge was not there live. He was sitting in the corner of a ring that was clearly, it looked like it was in his gym in North Carolina. Because when he was training to come back a few years ago, they shipped a ring to him. I think he still has it. So it looked like it was his ring at home. And he's sitting there and he recalled being forced to retire at the age of, how old was he? Was he 30? I think he was 34, right? Or 35, maybe? He was gone for 9 years. He's been back for two. That's 11. So yeah, I think he retired at 34. He was forced into retirement. And then he came back and he was 46 years old and things have been difficult. You know, it's to be expected, but he said things have been more difficult since his return. He said it's taking a toll on his family as well. It's tough to hide it from his daughters when his bones crack when he wakes up in the morning. I mean, my bones crack. I don't think that's an old thing. My bones have been cracking for 10 years. Wake up in the morning, my ankles crack. Walk down the stairs, you could hear me coming from a mile away. Snap, crackle, and pop. Maybe I should see a chiropractor. See, he's talking about his bones cracking. He also said that his wife wants him to come out of this in one piece, but that ship may have already sailed. And he said that maybe he's insane, maybe he's selfish, but he can't apologize. And he warned Finn Balor in the Judgment Day. He warned them. I'm banging on the desk here. He warned Finn Balor. He said that there is nothing that they could do to him physically. And I want you to remember that word. That's the key word. There is nothing that they could do to him physically on Saturday to get him to say the words, I quit. It simply will not happen. Now, I did my predictions for Extreme Rules on the podcast yesterday, and they're up on the YouTube channel right now. I'm picking Finn Balor to win this match on Saturday, and the finish that I pitched, what I think is going to happen. And we'll see if his family is there. The fact that he brought up his family in this promo, there's two tells here. Bringing up his wife and bringing up his family, that's number one. But saying that there is nothing you can do to me physically to get me to say the words I quit. What I predicted is that it's not going to be anything physical that's done to him. If his wife is shown on camera, if we know Beth Phoenix is there, there is something that the Judgment Day will do to threaten her, Rhea Ripley or somebody. They're going to threaten bodily harm to his family, his wife, maybe his daughters. It would have to be something like that, going after someone he loves to get Edge to say the words, I quit, in order to save them. And based on the things he said here in this promo, I believe that now more than ever. Whether it's Beth, whether it's Ray, I know Ray is not family, maybe they could threaten Ray. I think that's how they get out of, you know, Edge loses, but the only reason he quits is because someone he loves is being threatened. And I think what he said in this promo, I think that's exactly the direction that they're going to be going in. We'll know if Beth Phoenix is there on Saturday. If they show her in the crowd, if they show her backstage, that's just going to scream angle alert. To me, that's going to be the biggest tell of where that finish is going. And then our main event was Alexa Bliss one-on-one with Io Sky. Another Alexa Bliss main event here on this show. The entire screen glitched out in the color pink for about a second. It was never acknowledged. It went away very quickly and the match continued. Now, I was reminded, as I saw the pink, what's the relevance of this? Remember last week, one of the images was this giant pink rabbit in some place in Italy. It looked like a Google Earth image. And it was just some giant, I don't know what the hell it was. It was like some giant pink rabbit. So maybe there's a connection there. The white rabbit is Bray. The pink rabbit is Alexa. There's some kind of connection there, obviously. Io went for her moonsault. Alexa moved out of the way. Io did a belly flop. Alexa hit a DDT, and she went up to set up for Twisted Bliss. She connected with Twisted Bliss, had the match won, but Bayley distracted the referee. Another fucking distraction here on this show. You know, Damage Control is out there interfering in every fucking match like they're the NWO. I mean, it's ridiculous. So Belair went after her. Bianca was out there with Alexa. Finally, Bianca came out to back up Alexa. They couldn't back up Candace, but she backed up Alexa. So Bianca went after her. Bayley and Dakota, though, threw her into the ring steps. Bliss wiped out the heels with a dive. She went back up top to set up for presumably another Twisted Bliss, but Io grabbed her and hit an air raid crash, followed by her moonsault, and she got the pinfall for the win. After the match, Damage Control attacked the baby faces. They attacked Bianca and Alexa with a ladder until Asuka limped down to the ring. She had a kendo stick. She was hopping down to the ring like a rabbit on one leg, but they ended up taking her down with the ladder as well. Then they opened the ladder up on its side. They just kind of spread it open. They put Alexa in between. They slammed it shut on her. Bayley climbed the ladder. Actually, they kicked it. They kicked it closed on her. Now, Bayley climbed the ladder, held up the Raw Women's Championship before the announcers ran down the Extreme Rules card one last time to close out the show. And that was your go-home edition of, yes, Distraction Night Raw. V-Joe in the chat has it exactly right. A night of distractions here on Monday Night Raw. I wasn't distracted. I paid attention to everything on this show. I was not impressed with this show. I thought the show was actually pretty boring. But we have a full card already announced. Well, not a full card, but a bunch of things already announced for next week. It is the big season premiere here in Brooklyn. It's going to be at the Barclays Center. It is going to have the D-Generation X reunion 25 years later after its formation. They were advertising Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Road Dogg, and X-Pac. So Sean Waltman, who was just talking about possibly having some kind of role with WWE, or not even wanting one, he thought maybe he would be good being one of those analysts on the pre-show. He would love to do something like that. He'll be on Raw next week. Obviously, they don't have access to Billy Gunn. Supposedly, WWE is prepared if there are chance of daddy ass on the show. There's some kind of comeback or they have some kind of plan to counteract any kind of daddy ass chance on the show next week. Maybe Triple H will talk about the pissant company again like he did at the Hall of Fame. Bobby Lashley will defend the U.S. title against Seth Rollins. Johnny Gargano takes on Austin Theory. And the Bloodline will be there, and that includes Roman Reigns. Yes, Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, has remembered that Monday Night Raw is, in fact, a WWE show. He is going to appear on Monday Night Raw. This feels like a special event. He won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. I think he's been on Raw a grand total of one time since then. So we will be graced by the presence of Roman Reigns on Raw next week with the rest of the Bloodline. So that is your Raw preview for next week. Raw tonight, for the first time since Triple H took over, is under the 50% mark. So apparently you didn't like this show just like I didn't really like it. 49.8%. Now that number will fluctuate, but right now it is 49.8% thumbs up for Raw. First time that it has dropped under 50% since Triple H took over. So what is today? October 4th. It is now October 4th. It's after midnight. Triple H took over the end of July, so it took a little over 2 months for Raw to be almost back to where it was. Not quite, but almost there. 35% thumbs in the middle and 15% thumbs down. How much further down will it go? I don't know. Next week should be a big show. I think next week they'll probably do better than 49%. Let me just remind you here before we move on. Again, if you missed it earlier, this Wednesday we're doing the Hell in a Cell watch along from Bad Blood in 1997. I hope to see you all there. If you are not already a channel member, make sure you join before Wednesday so you can hang out with us in the live chat on the eve of my birthday. You can keep me company and spend time. We can hang out and chat as we watch along to one of the greatest matches in WWE history. I'm actually looking forward to that. I am looking forward to that. I've not seen that match in a very long time. And I've got a lot of history we can talk about here. I gotta set things up for you. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes things. Talk about Brian Pillman. Unfortunately, he passed away on that day as well. Go through your super chats. We're going to begin here with one and only AJ has become the new eater of pins. Yes, AJ Styles is, again, as I said before, in the worst position that he has been in since joining WWE. He's not in any kind of real featured position. It seems like they have no real direction for him. I believe he's been working Roman Reigns on some of the recent house shows. I think that would be a perfectly fine direction. I have no sense that he's going to beat Roman, but you can get a program, I think, out of AJ Styles and Roman Reigns. You can get a pay-per-view match out of them. You could do that at the Royal Rumble. Why not? AJ Styles and Roman Reigns for the championship at the Royal Rumble? Sign me up. Let's get something going here. You've got one of the best in the world on your roster. You're doing nothing with it. First, though, he's got the inevitable match, I'm sure, with Finn Balor. We still have to get the singles match with him and Finn Balor. I'm sure that's coming up next. Shin Akuma, why did Batista have heat when he was drafted to SmackDown in 2005? If he had heat, I don't know if that's the timeline. I think it was 2007. I remember hearing about him having heat. I think it was just probably a combination of people, on the roster being jealous. And also him maybe having a chip on his shoulder. He was known for not having an attitude, but probably rubbing people the wrong way around that time. I don't think it was any kind of specific incident. In 05? No. I think it was more just kind of those general things. Be calm, see clearly. I've been so depressed at my job, it makes me cry. Well, look. Easy for me to sit here and say, leave the job. If it depresses you, would find a new one. Maybe you're not able to. Maybe it's not that easy. There are still, I mean, the way they talk, there's still all these jobs out there that are just waiting to be filled. I don't know what industry you're in. I don't know what you do for a living, but I will tell you that you should not have to be depressed at work. And if you are depressed at work, if they're making you depressed, then you should say, you know what? Fuck this. I don't need this shit. I'm going to go find work somewhere else. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sad that you're sad at work. Give me your boss's name. I'll have a nice discussion with him. I'll cut a fucking promo on him. You tell me who your boss is and how I can reach him or her, and I will cut a promo on him. I'll set them straight. Internet Explorer user 2014 is back with us here. $5 super chat. Finally, we say goodbye to the Thunderdome on Friday. Can we get a rest in peace Thunderdome in the chat? Although it still hasn't loaded up yet. He's getting closer. He's getting closer to being, you know, part of the current timeline here. It just takes Internet Explorer user a little bit longer than the rest of us. I love that he's got the logo too. He's got the fucking logo. I love it. B. Joe says the boss is Kevin Dunn. Boss is Kevin Dunn, huh?
Fuck Kevin Dunn. Yeah.
You give me that boss's name. Bobby's World 2110. Cool to see Ali on TV. I'd like to see him get a fair shot, but unfortunately you can't push everybody at once. I wouldn't hold my breath on any kind of an Ali push. You know, people say he's not over. And he's not. When you see him out there tonight, it's kind of like damage control. They're not over either. People don't care. But I would counter that by saying it's hard to care when you put somebody on television for a few weeks and then you vanish them for a while. Consistency is very important. People are going to get behind you if you give them a reason to get behind you. So if the booking is not there to support him, if they don't have a good story for him, if they're not going to give him consistent time on television, it's going to be very hard to get over. They're handicapping him by doing that. So, that's the issue there. Aussie of Steel, cult leader Bray got screwed by bad booking. The Fiend and Funhouse Bray got screwed by bad booking. So maybe third gimmick's the charm. We're in a new era now. The one consistency to Bray Wyatt from the day he set foot on the main roster to the day that he was released is that it was Vince McMahon's sandbox that he was playing in. This will be the first time that he is playing in Triple H's sandbox on the main roster. So the slate is wiped clean, and we'll see if the third time is the charm for Bray Wyatt. I still think that he's going to come back and reinvent himself in some way. Maybe he'll have a new look. He'll shave half his head. I don't know. Change it up in some way. Daniel Carlisto, I would love to see Riddle and RVD tag just one time. Get it on a Saudi show. Think the Saudis would like that? I don't know if they'd like that. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, the Fiend, should come back and play red light, green light with his victims. Instead of getting shot, your character changes. I'm sorry for that. I'm enjoying Squid Game. I love Squid Game. I think that's a great show. Mega Butterfree. $10 Super Chat. Live in Fort Myers, Florida. We got hit pretty hard from Ian on Wednesday, and things are rough. Wanted to show my appreciation for your streams and how much they helped get me back into wrestling. Well, I hope everything is okay. I was watching earlier, especially, Sanibel Island, and they were showing, I think, Fort Myers just completely devastated down there. And they're still finding bodies. They're finding cadavers. They're trying to... You know, some places they can only get in by helicopter because the roads have been washed out, bridges collapsed. It's been days, and you know, you still got people that are trapped there. It's awful. It's awful. So I'm glad that you at least are doing okay, and hopefully these streams can at least take your mind off things for a few hours at least, right? It's the best we can do here, but I hope it's something. Tripod, happy birthday, Solo. Yesterday was my dad's birthday. He would have been 83. Alzheimer's is a hell of a disease. Yeah, it's an awful disease. Actually, I know somebody whose mother was diagnosed with ALS, which is, you talk about awful. I mean, that's what Mongo has. It's just awful. Awful doesn't begin to describe how bad of a disease that is. Mr. AJ Allday, heard your Extreme Rules predictions and damage control is so bad that Bayley beating Bianca will not help. It is just something missing. Well, after tonight and the way they ended the show, I'm starting to rethink that prediction. And I'm starting to think that they're going to save that title change for Charlotte Flair and not Bayley. Maybe I picked the wrong horsewoman. Maybe the direction isn't Charlotte and Ronda. Maybe the direction is Charlotte and Bianca, because Charlotte obviously wants to work with Bianca. They had a great match on Raw about a year ago. So now I'm kind of rethinking. I don't want to change my prediction. I'm going to stick with what I did, but now I'm not so sure about this. Joseph Brooks, do you think these past 2 years Lashley has morphed back into his old TNA persona as far as his promos and matches in recent years show? No, not even his TNA persona. I think of his Impact persona. I think of the stuff that he was doing with Dan Lambert and American Top Team. I remember him more as a heel. I just think there's a certain confidence now in his promo. Yeah, Lashley is still not a great promo guy. He's not. He's not a great promo guy, but he is much better than he was years ago. And the run that he had in Impact, I think, is very underrated. I think it helped him out a lot. When he came back to WWE, all the improvements that he had made as far as his personality and just kind of opening up more and not being so wooden and so stiff, a lot of that had to do, I think, with the improvements he made being given the ball to be the top guy in Impact. I think that run is really what kind of set him on his way. Angel Silva, hearing you complain about the long wrestling show times makes me grateful to be living in LA. The pay-per-views, Raw and SmackDown, end at or near 8 p.m. That is definitely one of the benefits of being in that part of the country. And it's one of the reasons why I'm still not sure if I'm going to cover any of the AEW stuff on Friday night. I might leave that up to you guys. Should I or shouldn't I? Right now, I would just love to go live at 10:20 and talk about SmackDown, and you know, maybe the way to go is we do SmackDown, and when we kind of wrap all that up, if Battle of the Belts is still on, maybe it turns into a watch along type thing. I don't know. These long nights though, they're killing me. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, that opening before you came on was Thriller. I don't know. It was inspired by Thriller. It wasn't Thriller. Got its inspiration from it. Insanity's Queen Fire Panda. Hey, Solomonster, what's your favorite Raw segment ever? And why is it Bayley, This Is Your Life? It is not Bayley, This Is Your Life. I love the Zamboni incident with Steve Austin and Vince McMahon. Yeah, I watch these Raw shows sometimes now. And I know Austin is such an extreme example to use because he was the most over star in the history of the business as far as this country is concerned, this company. But I just, you know, the reactions, like I remember that segment vividly when he drove that Zamboni down to the ring and he dove onto Vince and cops were there to break it up, and just the level of insanity in the crowd. And then I just think about some of these segments we saw tonight where you can hear the fucking vents from, like, the air conditioning in the building. And I'm like, how did we go from that to this? How did we go from that to this? How does that happen? I don't know. John Falchetta, Vince Russo is booking for the Mets this month, bro. Brandon Proctor, thank you for the $5. Buy, sell, rent on the dream match. Brett versus Angle, Brett versus Omega, Brett versus Danielson. Buy on Brett and Angle, rent on Brent. Brett. I sound like Michael Buffer now. Brett the Hitman Clark. Brent Hart. No, we're going to buy on Brett and Angle. We're going to rent on Brett and Danielson. And we're going to sell on Brett and Omega. Fire Panda, typo in the first chat. Massive facepalm. Serious question for you in the chat. What's the most underrated match this year? I pitched that to the chat. I've seen a lot of great matches this year. As far as underrated, I don't know about underrated, but there have been no shortage of great wrestling matches this year. It's going to be tough when we try to figure out what the match of the year is, but very good chance that FTR and the Briscoes will be in one of them. Samoan Fan 101, I did not need to hear about Seth's Woody on 776. Well, now you have. I said Seth is Woody and Roman Reigns is Buzz Lightyear. I'm talking about an animated movie and you get your mind in the gutter. I can't help that. You are in the gutter. You are a gutter dweller. I don't know where your mind is at. Rodimus Prime, just like the Horsemen, each member of the Bloodline has a specific role, with Solo being the Arn Anderson. What role would you give Sammy besides honorary Oos? What role would I give him? I mean, as far as the Horsemen? I mean, Sammy would kind of be like the J.J. Dillon, I guess, if I had to pick a role. He's not Rick, he's not Arn, he's not Oli, he's not Tully. He's not Luger, he's not Wyndham. He's not Roma. He's like the J.J. Dillon of the group. Only he's a better wrestler. Jacob Dearmore, if Rollins does win his first defense, can he... If Rollins does win, his first defense can be against Ali, since he curb stomped him. You can even have a triple threat with Lashley, Riddle, and Ali. I think Rollins is going to walk away with that title next week. Kevin, yeah, I'm going to try to watch that new Tales from the Territory show. It kicks off tomorrow night, tonight, I guess. Tuesday night, 10 p.m. on Vice. I don't have Vice, but I will try to find a way to watch it this week, and if it's interesting enough, we might do weekly reviews in the podcast for it. But I know the episode this week is on Memphis wrestling. And then they're going to have a separate episode next week dedicated solely to Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman. Huffman says, correction, a box-like structure. That's right, we have a box-like structure at WrestleMania. Dre Hund with the $2. What is John Cena's most iconic color scheme? Iconic? I don't think any of them are iconic, but I think probably the green. When I think of the green, I think of the matches he had with CM Punk in 2011 in Money in the Bank, and I think of the first match with The Rock at WrestleMania 28. And those are two of the best matches and the biggest matches he ever had, so I'd probably go green. The Dada and Boy podcast. Dada and Boys podcast. I always forget the S. Make sure you check them out on YouTube, by the way. It says, just showing love. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that very much. Darth Jar Jar B was there live. Gable was over. First event ever. Well, yeah, they were in Gable's home state. I would have been shocked if he wasn't over. Winter's Paw, are you going to any of the Mets playoff games? No, I am not. The Dada and Boys podcast. Again, LA Knight is listed on the internal roster. Yes, he is. I said it was only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. He wore red against Punk. Did he wear red against Punk? For some reason, I thought he wore green. Am I imagining that? Well, I know he wore green for the first Rock match. That I know. Maybe he did wear red for the match against Punk. I'm still going to say green. Winter's Paw with the $10 super chat. This White Rabbit story is why I love Bray so much and why I was so sad to see him gone. No one is like him and he is not afraid to be different, while others trot out the same boring material every week. Slim Yoshi, what's going on? Thank you for the 10 spot. Solo Monster, do you think Chad Gable has the potential to be world champion one day? I believe he can. He has the potential. Of course he has the potential. Do I think he's going to be world champion one day? I don't. But he absolutely could. I think he would kill it. Devin from NJ2000. Thoughts on the Bob Holly tough enough incident? You think Holly was too hard or Matt Capitelli needed some toughening up? No, I mean, you don't toughen somebody up that way. But if you hear Bob tell the story, his version of how that went down and why that happened was different, and again, that's his version of events. But as far, you know, the idea of somebody taking advantage of somebody and taking liberties and, you know, beating the hell out of them like that, and again, his version is different, but you don't do that to somebody. Bob the Builder, I'm excited to watch future mega superstars Yuta and Garcia this Wednesday. Can't wait. See you there. I apologize about the Mets. Well, I will be here on Wednesday. We will be talking about Dynamite. X-Raven, since I don't see this damage control thing getting better, what do you think needs to happen to turn this feud positive? Debut or face turn, in my opinion, soon? Well, they're not going to go babyface. I don't know. I just don't know that this combination is a winning combo. You know, maybe they just need to go their separate ways. I know that Bayley has wanted to work with Dakota for a very long time. So it could be a case where maybe the best thing to do would be to, you know, it's a situation where maybe Io Sky takes the loss in a championship match. They lose their women's tag team titles. They blame Io for the loss. They attack Io. They excommunicate Io from the group. Io then goes babyface, which I think she's probably better off in the babyface role. And then we just kind of get Bayley and Dakota as a combo. Maybe that's the better way to go. Maybe Io needs to be a babyface on her own. Lorray, $4.99. I stay in San Antonio. I'll be at the Rumble. I can call in after the show. I don't know if you have someone already. I mean, you could drop by the chat. We don't usually do the phone calls after the pay-per-views anymore, but... that's awesome. Yeah, no, they sold a lot of tickets. They said they set some kind of a record. They didn't say exactly what the number was, but I think they're expecting over 40,000 or so for the Rumble in January. Dr. Dakota, get 500 likes and Solo won't review Rampage. Yeah, maybe if I say, hey, we need 1,000 likes and there won't be a Rampage review, I'd have like 1,500 likes in 5 minutes. Kevin Dunn's Beaver. Fire my father. Hey, brother, I would if I could. I would if I had the power. King Bling Blah. What are some match types WWE does not do that you wish they did? Mine are hard 10 match. Hard 10 match. Weapons have different point values and the first 10 points wins. Oh, so you're just making up match types now. I thought you were saying match types from, like, other promotions. Oh, I don't know. I've been calling for War Games on the main roster for years. I'm just happy we're getting War Games at Survivor Series. Lovelie, $4.99. Do you think NXT slapping an old pay-per-view names to their big shows is an effective marketing strategy, or should they come up with something more original? I think they should... I think it's okay to have, you know, like I like In Your House being used again. Just because I kind of miss the whole In Your House thing, but that's me. You know, to some younger fan or newer fan, they might go, In Your House, what the hell's that? But it's kind of pointless if you're going to have an In Your House and not have, like, that old-style In Your House set like they had for the first one. I don't remember if they had it for the second one or not. I do think it's better to come up with something more original, though. But if you want to have, like, a throwback event, pick an old name, whether it's In Your House or if it's going to be Fully Loaded. Or I mean, look, Halloween Havoc is great. I love the fact... I think Halloween Havoc should be a main roster show, whether it's a pay-per-view, whether it's a television special. I mean, that Halloween Havoc should be like a main roster thing. And you got to do it up, like the whole set and everything, the giant pumpkin, the whole fucking thing, whether it's a big balloon or, you know, whatever it was, like WCW did it, or it's just part of the set. Tombstones all around, smoke and people in zombie costumes as people walk to the ring. Like, you really got to do it up. You can't do that at the Performance Center. It's a tiny building. So, you know, we're going to have this Halloween Havoc show and, you know, maybe they'll have something in the background, but like you got to do that shit like in a big building, you know? So I would rather see Halloween Havoc utilized on the main roster like they're doing War Games now. But if NXT is going to use it, I think that's great. I think doing a few of those is fine, but they should also come up with some original names. Kind of mix them up. The Big Dreadhead 75. $4.99. Maybe a long shot, but do you think we see a new set for SmackDown and Raw with their season premieres? I'm not expecting a new set. They spent so much money on the whole LED thing that, I mean, maybe they make some minor changes. I'm not even sure what that would be. I don't see them getting rid of the set. I wish they would. I wish these shows would just, you know, they've had the same basic look for 25 years, right? I mean, they really have. Think about it. Like, the basic Titantron aisleway or Titantron ramp, it really hasn't changed in 25 years. Now they have the LED screens and stuff, and they can play with them. They have some lights. But, I mean, I'll watch an old WCW Monday Nitro sometimes, and they ran small buildings. I mean, these were small buildings that they ran in some cases. And they would somehow make them look bigger than they actually were. And they'd have that kind of long aisleway. You had a set. Then it was like a kind of a long walk to the ring. They had the WCW logo, the giant logo, off to the side. I don't know why you can't do something like that here. I mean, is it the fact that the buildings are different now than maybe they used to be? I don't know exactly why. I just hate that the same general look has stuck for 25 years. And it hasn't really changed. I know they want the big video wall. I feel like you could still do that. You could still have that. But I wish it was a more, I guess, traditional kind of look in that way. Just to change it up a little bit. Justin says, I love... Right back at you. I appreciate that. I love all my watchers, all my listeners, all my fans, all my people. We've got Aussie of Steel. I hate to quote Alberto Del Dipshit, but it is our destiny, he says, to get 500 likes. Not tonight, apparently. Thomas, I love this White Rabbit stuff. I think Chad Gable could be an angle-type character with his own flair. Drew McIncock says, thank you. You're very welcome. Fire Panda, yes, Drew, I do remember when CM Punk... when CM Pink turned teal on the pebble during Raw 1000. Apparently they're having a conversation amongst themselves. And Devin NJ 2000, Holly always reminded me of Shane from The Shield. That's an interesting comparison, although I don't think Holly ever killed anybody, but interesting comparison. Who is more scary, Michael Myers or Bray Wyatt, and why? Michael Myers can teach Bray Wyatt a thing or two. I'll tell you something. When Bray got released, I made the comment that I think Bray, And I know he actually did film some kind of a movie role. I haven't heard anything about that ever since. I don't know that Bray Wyatt needs to be in wrestling. I think Bray Wyatt would have been, and still could be, a great asset as a horror movie actor, villain, like the Fiend character. And I guess, you know, WWE probably has the rights to it. So, unless they wanted to do their own film movie for WWE Studios. But, like, that character, I think, in Bray would be perfect in, like, a horror movie. I think that's where he would excel. All this character work and stuff, all the creepy shit. Like, it's too good for WWE television. There's only so much you could do on a wrestling show. You know what I mean? And I think that's an area where he would have excelled. I really do. I think that he would have excelled, I think, in movies doing stuff like this. Jacob says, do you think Kane and Big Show could have had the same matches as Braun and Big Show had? Also, which WrestleMania would you have booked Kane versus Big Show? Kane and Big Show could have had the same matches as Braun and Big Show. Kane and Big Show have had matches over the years. I remember the one match that stands out to me. They had a match on Raw many years ago. And this might have been like, I don't know, like, I want to say it was early 2000s, where they tried to chain wrestle. So they started the match and they were doing chain wrestling, which was very startling to see that. But I like the fact they at least tried something different. Kane and Big Show, though, in the later years is not a match I cared to see. I didn't care to see them as a team when they were annihilating everybody as part of the Authority. But if you were ever going to do Kane and Big Show, I would think that, you know, if you're going to do it at a WrestleMania... See, I wouldn't have wanted to see it at one of the later WrestleManias. If anything, it would have been something that should have happened years earlier. And it did. They had a match at WrestleMania 17. It was a triple threat. Raven was involved. But we did technically have Kane and Big Show against each other on that show. But you're never going to get me to sit here and go, oh man, I can't believe that we never got Kane versus Big Show at WrestleMania, because I don't really give a shit. Of all the WrestleMania matches that we never got, that I would have loved to have seen, Kane and Big Show, I mean, the idea of it would never have even crossed my mind. Justin, thank you for the love. Dakota, first the Super Chat war after stream and now stalling Solomos or I Am a Genius. Well, you sure do love putting yourself over, don't you? Thunder Knight, 28 days, 6 hours, 42 minutes, 12 seconds. That should have been the first clue for the White Rabbit and when he would be revealed. Ricky Edmund, if Michael Myers and Jason actually meet each other, would they actually drink with each other? If not, what would they do if they meet each other? They'd fucking kill each other. What else would they do? They're not going to fuck each other. They're gonna try to kill each other. It's the same thing that Jason and Freddy did when they had Jason versus Freddy. Seems pretty cut and dry to me. All right, you got us there just in the nick of time. So without any further ado, let's do it. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
You got us there. Got us over the finish line, so let's get this party started here. Waste no more of your time. We begin with the men's Be the Booker. And we begin with the former WWE champion, Mr. Bob Backlund. There he is. Look at those ears. I spoke a lot of weed. Thank you for the $4.99. What's more surprising, that we never got Ray against Triple H in a one-on-one or Ray against Jeff Hardy? Consider either a dream match? No, I don't consider either of those a dream match. I think that's a term that gets thrown around way too much. But of those two, the one that actually surprises me is Jeff Hardy and Ray. Are you sure we never got that? Yeah, that's surprising. Well, let's see who Mr. Backlund's getting in the ring with. Mr. Backlund going to go one-on-one with the British Bulldog. I don't like that match. Look at the Bulldog in this photo. Oh, what an image. Look at his face. Look at the Bulldog. Why does he look like that? And there's Andre. I mean, poor Andre. Andre could just barely move at this point. This was 91. This had to be 91. Oh, poor Andre in the background. All right, let's try the women's Be the Booker. We begin with Ronda Rousey, who will be challenging Liv Morgan for the SmackDown Women's Championship this Saturday. And Ronda Rousey is going to go one-on-one with Wendy Chu. See, let me explain something. Everybody who's freaking out in the chat that I gave the buzzer to the Bulldog and Bob Backlund, the images that you see when they come up, that is the version of the person that we are talking about. So we are not talking about Bob Backlund from 1980 when he was the WWF champion for the first time. Now, Backlund had some good matches when he came back to the company. The matches that he had with Brett, mainly the first match that he had with Brett, which was the Superstars match where he snapped after the match and he turned heel. So Backlund could still work, but he was not the same Bob Backlund of old. So putting Bob Backlund in the ring in 1994 against the British Bulldog is not a match that I think would have been very good. What's so difficult to understand about that? So you can poo-poo somewhere else. In fact, not only am I going to give that a buzzer, I'm going to give that another buzzer. Just because you pissed me off. That's the buzzer for all of you. I make the booking decisions around here. Now we go to the tag teams. We've got the world's greatest tag team, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. Love Team Angle. Team Angle. My favorite parts about the Ruthless Aggression era. Haas and Benjamin going to be stepping into the ring to take on the Fabulous Freebirds. That gets a bell. See? I have to teach you people everything. That's a match right there that is worth the bell. The Freebirds and the world's greatest tag team. That is a match that I would book on one of my shows. Not Bob Backlund against the British Bulldog. One out of three. Boy, I didn't know that there were this many people who were dying to see Bob Backlund against the British Bulldog. Well, I'll tell you what. If you have WWE 2K22, you can create Bob Backlund, and you could probably download the British Bulldog. And you can have Bob Backlund against the British Bulldog until you're fucking turned blue in the face. And you can play to your heart's content. You could go to that Mexico Plaza arena. You could do it in an old WCW arena. You could put them in the Thunderdome. How about that? You could do Bob Backlund and the British Bulldog in the Thunderdome. You could have Bob Backlund and the British Bulldog in the NXT, the Nickelodeon arena. There you go. Dada and Boys podcast. I have not been keeping up with the product lately. Can you recap all of the white bunny clues from the beginning and what they mean? Absolutely not. All you need to know is that it is Bray Wyatt, and he is very likely going to be revealing himself at the pay-per-view this weekend. Hulkling 93. This is the same man who gave a bell to Bull Nakano and Maria Kanellis. A total squash, I'm just saying. Did I give a bell to Bull Nakano? I never gave a bell to Bull Nakano and Maria Kanellis. Don't be spreading lies. My finger must have slipped. I would not have given a bell to a Maria Kanellis-Bull Nakano match. Although Bull Nakano was great. Maybe I gave it to Bull Nakano. Because Bull Nakano would probably knock her head off her shoulders. Samoan fan, Solo Monster became Vince McMahon. I am sad now. Well, pal, deal with it. Dakota says, all that stalling for likes and we go 1 for 3. It's the way it goes sometimes with Be the Booker. You never know what you're going to get. Darth Panic, your take on intergender matches / violence in pro wrestling. Ripley and Rousey get to beat up on their male wrestlers but cannot be touched back. It's a different time. Different time. You're not going to have the guys beating up on the women in a company where people would be freaking the fuck out on social media and would be calling for this company to be taken off the air. If WWE was not a publicly traded company, if it was a different time, do I think Triple H would allow that sort of thing? Would allow Rhea Ripley to take bumps, let's say, from, you know, if Rey Mysterio was like, I've had enough of this fucking woman, and he decided to give her a 619 and kick her in the face and give her a big splash off the top rope, do I think Triple H would allow it? Yes, I do. But there's certain things that you can't get away with today. When you have the kind of visibility that this company has and all the different partnerships and all the different sponsorships, you know, they made that choice. They make a lot of money off these things. There's certain things you cannot do. Doesn't make it wrong, doesn't make it right. Do I think it's okay for Rhea Ripley to take bumps from some guys? Yeah, I wouldn't have an issue with it. I don't think she would either. I think she'd like it. I think she would love to get physical in situations like that with some of the men on these shows and kick their ass and take bumps. Candice LeRae, let me tell you something. Candice LeRae comes out on Raw, and she's got the butterfly wings, and they're calling her the poison pixie, right? People forget that Candice LeRae would take a fucking beating like nobody I have ever seen before from a lot of the men, because she was doing intergender matches on the independent scene in PWG and all these companies, and she'd get busted open. Her whole face would be bloodied. I still remember the lumbar check that she took from Cedric Alexander years ago, that unbelievable fucking sell. Candice LeRae, if you put her in the ring in an intergender match, she could probably have one of the best intergender matches of any woman on that roster. It'll never happen. It's just, again, why do people expect that WWE is going to roll that back? Triple H just went to Sports Illustrated or The Ringer or whatever it was and did an interview when he announced War Games and said, you know, we're not going to go back to the days of blood and blading and it would be irresponsible of us. He's giving the corporate answers that you would expect somebody like him in his position to give. They're not going to go back to blading and they're not going to go back to intergender stuff. Every now and then you might get something like Nia Jax taking an RKO in the Royal Rumble match. But it's just not going to happen. It's a different time. And it's not a headache that the company wants. Just imagine the shitstorm that it would ignite on social media. It is not something the company is interested in doing. I would not have an issue with it. It does not bother me. I don't think it bothers the performers either. But I understand why they don't do it. Yes, Kane and Big Show were a tag team. Kane and Big Show were tag team champion. Why are we talking about Kane and fucking Big Show? Of all the things that I would want to talk about here, the last thing on my list, second to last, Vince Russo would be the last. The second to last thing on my list would be Kane and Big Show. I could not wait to be rid of Kane and Big Show from my television. I used to say I want to see them in a quicksand match. They both sink to the bottom of the earth. And we finally got rid of Kane and Big Show. And now you are bringing them back. Why are you doing this to me? I don't want to consider Kane and Big Show. Kane and Big Show are a thing of the past. Kane is done. Kane is a relic. Kane is gone. Big Show's in AEW. He's Captain Insano now. That's good. I didn't know people were so in love with Kane and Big Show. I am amazed by this. Jeff and Ray. Okay, he was talking about Jeff and Ray. Ice Mocha was talking about Jeff and Ray. So yeah, apparently Jeff Hardy and Rey Mysterio never did have a singles match, which is actually very surprising to me. That does surprise me. I am going to leave you guys to go, and you can pop over onto Peacock, and you can lie in bed at night and touch yourself, and you can watch Kane and Big Show matches all night long until your balls turn blue. You do you. I'm going to do me. I am absolutely not going to do that. But if you want to do that, I will not judge you. I'll be back on Wednesday, maybe. I don't know. You've scared me here. I might not come back. This could be the last stream. I might have to leave the country and change my identity after this. I'll see you Wednesday. You guys are weird.